Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 145 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of April 14th, 2017. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me as always is unnerving laughter generator Dan Ryan.
Ha! 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 Ha!
Ha! You shouldn't laugh anymore.
I know, but I can't help it. Otherwise, we're going to spend a lot of time crying tonight. So
yeah, we are. So what we're doing tonight, we since we didn't have a chance to announce it last week on the show because I was deathly ill. My favorite TV show in the universe, Mystery Science Theater 3000, is back officially the day that this podcast goes live. I was a Kickstarter backer, so I got to see the first new episode already, and it is just as good as I hoped it would be. It's new Mystery Science Theater. So in order to kind of celebrate that in a self-indulgent sort of way, I decided that it would be a lot of fun if we talked about some of our, let's say, favorite, lack of a better word, Mystery Science Theater worthy cutscenes, of which there are many. So before we get any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. So Dan, before we torture our ears with some truly special moments in gaming, how are you?
I'm good, Chris. It's been been an interesting couple of weeks. I have, in the last 2 weeks, I have finished all four Uncharted games.
Nice.
Yeah, just bought Uncharted 4 over the weekend because it's like $20 now, which is an amazing price. And it was my favorite in the series.
Really?
Yeah, I would go 4-2-3-1.
Okay.
In that order.
All right.
But it was really good. This one took the longest to beat out of all of them. Like, I think the first one took me like 6 hours. The second one took like 8 or 9. The third one took like 7. But this one took almost 14.
Wow.
And it looks just incredible. I mean, it's stunning to look at.
Well, that's awesome. I would really like to try that sometime.
It's really, really good. Like, I really... playing through the series like so quickly, you could see, I mean, there is a bit of repetition and sameness to it, you know, with the different things that you're doing, but there is,
yeah, but I mean, there is between watching Indiana Jones movies, it's,
well,
it,
yeah,
it's a genre thing.
It is, it's very much a genre thing, but the evolution of the story and the character was just done just beautifully. I mean, Naughty Dog really doesn't make bad games, but you know, like I was just super, super impressed.
Well, I have been, obviously I'm still like neck deep in Hyrule. I'm 2 divine beasts down.
Ooh.
I'm right now taking a foray into Hyrule Castle, possibly against my better judgment, but I really want the Hylian Shield before I go any further in the game, just cause I want to. I got the Master Sword.
Oh, nice.
Which was a complete accident. I just kind of stumbled on the Lost Woods while I was venturing, and I was like, "Ooh, the Lost Woods! I bet the Master Sword's in there." And you know what? You're a big fan of Link to the Past. You're gonna appreciate it when you get to that point.
Yeah,
the actual opening where you go and see the Lost Woods is the same one from A Link to the Past. Like you walk through a big open log.
That's awesome.
It really is. And then there's like a whole cutscene and it shows the Master Sword that looks just like the old poster from A Link to the Past. It's
nice.
Like, wow. I was very impressed. I had exactly enough hearts to pick it up. I was getting kind of nervous. But yeah, I really want that Hylian Shield to go with the Master Sword. And I'm no longer afraid of Guardians, which is fun. Like, now I just walk right up to him and take care of business. And it's very, very satisfying when you get to the point where you're just not even afraid of those guys. And you're just like, I'm going to take every one of your legs. I'm just going to take them.
I'm going to have that.
You don't get to keep those anymore.
Those are mine now. It's a tax. It's a you being an asshole tax.
You can do this great, like, spin attack thing with heavy, heavy weapons where you just hold down the button and Link just starts spinning around. And I'll use this thing called Stasis Plus on a Guardian that kind of freezes them in place for a couple of seconds and then just starts spinning around and loop around the whole thing. And as soon as they break out of stasis, all their legs pop off.
Nice.
Oh, man. It's when you first see them in the game, you're just like, run. Run as fast as you can. Those things will kill you. And now I'm just like, I fear nothing in this game anymore.
I fear no one.
I fear no one. I've gotten real good at fighting Lynels. It's just ridiculous. That's I think awesome. The other really important thing of note that I have to say that I played since the last time we spoke was on the Japanese eShop, there's a demo of the new Spelunker game. It's, you know, it's not even remotely in English, and I doubt it's getting localized, but
probably not.
I really like it. It's I think it's a different game from the one that was released on PS3 a little while back. Mm-hmm. I think it's been so long since I played it, and I didn't play a lot of that one. That one had a really cool like Switch to 8-bit thing that I don't think is in this version. But I mean, it's a new Spelunker game with a cool new version of the Spelunker music. I freaking love Spelunker. I can't believe they're still making Spelunker games.
Yeah, that seems odd. But
apparently they're popular in Japan. Not like, you know, insanely popular, well, but sure, they've got a following in Japan. And I think there's like 4 people in the United States that give crap about Spelunker. And there should be more because that game's great.
It is good.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would go with great, but speaking of Japan, interesting little thing here. So in Puzzle and Dragons on the Japanese server, it's been the other thing that's been taking up a lot of my free time, which is why I haven't started Breath of the Wild yet. Mm-hmm. There is a new 3-player mode. And the 3-player, like, when you... There's been co-op for a little while, so, like, you and a partner can go into a dungeon and, like, your stats add up and, like, your skill boosts add up, so, like, you're ready to use your special attacks earlier and, like, all that. Like, everything's combined, right? Mm-hmm. In the 3-player version, you don't get to pick who you go into the dungeon with. It's just a random assignment, and none of the stats carry over. So you're like, you're pretty much all just tackling the same bosses, but with your own hit point pool and your own stats and whatnot. And it's been this really interesting way of trying to make your way through the game, because the dungeon that they put out has 3 new monsters in it, and it's Azathoth, fucking Jesus, I always fuck the name up, Nalarthotep, and
Malarthotep. How could you get that wrong?
I know. And Cthulhu. It's got 3 of the elder gods from H.P. Lovecraft, and they are insanely hard, like just ridiculously hard. So trying to make your way through these dungeons without being able to communicate to these other random people that you've been assigned to has been this really interesting kind of like social experiment of I just have to trust if I set a board up, like if I notice that the guy after me in the turn order has a particular leader, I'm like, oh, you need these orbs and I can't do enough of a combo to do this thing here, so I'm going to set the board up for you. I just have to trust that when you get the board, you're going to know what to do with it. Like, because the only communication that you can do in game is you can click a little button, and in the American version, it says nice. I assume that's what it says in the Japanese version as well. Like, it's not even like a noise. It's just nice. that's all you could say. So, man, it's really weird to play through this really insanely tough dungeon not being able to communicate with the people you need to communicate with to get shit done.
Sounds like trying to play Triforce Heroes.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to that, but like way harder. Like Cthulhu, I can't. It's the only one I want out of the 3 because Azathoth is cool, but I just don't have a team to get anywhere near beating him. I've gotten pretty close to Cthulhu, and I have Nalarthotep, so. Very excited about Cthulhu because I fucking love Cthulhu, but it's so hard. So hard.
Well, anyway.
you know, Japan pad.
Japan pad.
Still don't have Ronov.
Son of a bitch.
It's just never going to happen. It's never going to happen for me.
You're going to get it and you're going to feel so let down. You're just going to feel hollow when you get it.
I know. It. I'm going to get it. I'm never going to use it. You're like, ah, it's over there now.
Well, put it on my virtual shelf of virtual things. All right, let's get down to business here. So Dan and I, we just racked our imaginations. I mean, I don't think you did, these just were off the top of your head, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just stuff I was trying to think of, like, what is just the most awful things that I can remember?
That's pretty much where I was at, too. I just, like, thought of a handful off the top of my head, and then just, that's what I did. I'm sure we are missing things. I'm certain that we are missing some terrible, terrible cutscenes. I just want to mention a few off the, just right off the tip that I just didn't make the cut to listen to because they're either too obvious or, in the case of one of them, just too, just, I don't want to put anyone through any of that. I mean, obviously, there's the CDI Zelda games, all three of them, legendarily awful cutscenes. I would mention the DK rap from DK64 is one of the most painful things I've ever sat through. I know there are a lot of people who really like the DK rap. I'm probably going to piss some people off by saying that, but I think the DK rap was pretty much one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, without question. Like, there's a lot of people that like it, but there were also a lot of people that liked Hitler. So, I mean,
hey, he's not that bad, right?
Well, I mean, apparently, oh no, that's going to go down a whole other tangent.
Let's not go there. Speaking
of, should we say there are still people that like United Airlines?
There certainly are.
Okay,
there's still people who read Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, still wrong.
Cancer is not a weight loss program. Anyway, speaking of cancer, Bubsy 3D. I'm just going to go ahead and leave that off the list because, I mean, that was one of the first ones that came to my mind, and then I was watching some of them, and it's just like watching a slow motion car wreck. Like, the cinematics, you think the game itself is bad, but the cinematics are like next level bad.
It's like walking in on your parents having sex, but not even just like missionary, like, dad's got a ball gag, and you're like, oh, what the, oh God. Forever unclean. Can't unsee it.
So the first one we're going to talk about is from a game that I never finished, and I likely never will finish. No. Final Fantasy X. This is the only one that jumped to mind, just because it was particularly memorable. And I don't even know if I ever got to this point in the game. I think I just know it from it being a thing. Mm-hmm. This is where Titus or however the heck you say his name with his stupid asymmetric shorts, where he
Steven,
learns to laugh.
Actually,
it's Steven.
It's pronounced Steven. C I D S. Steven.
Yes. Perfect. So yeah, well, this is what him learning to laugh. So we're actually going to play a brief clip of all these things, just for your listening pleasure. So this is what we're talking about. Titus learning to laugh. Enjoy.
Shouldn't laugh anymore.
Yuna is absolutely right.
Yeah. Yuna is not wrong.
Yeah. He should never laugh again. Look, I know it was supposed to be like some bit where it's like he just lost somebody and they're trying to make him laugh or something. We'll have a link to the show notes to the more complete version of it, but it's still really painful to get through.
Oh, it's horrendous. And like, what I love is as Titus is going through this, you know, forcing the laugh out and whatnot, the rest of the party is just standing there, just completely stone-faced, almost unblinking, looking at him like, you motherfucker, go back and play underwater volleyball, you shithead. I hate you. We're all going to die. How are you going to save the world? Your haircut sucks. Like, oh, God, it's just awful. It's so bad.
Yeah, that was, it's just rude. That their looks on their faces was how I felt watching this, just like really uncomfortable. Yeah, you get what you're trying to do, pal, but do it on your own time in a room away from me, please.
far away. As oh god, it's wretched.
Yes, that's a good word for it.
It's not as bad as our next clip, which I'm super excited about because it's possibly my favorite of all time.
This is Dan's pick from the all-time classic Devil May Cry. You know what? I think Capcom owns the most slots on here.
That's not surprising because they don't give a shit.
They don't. They're not like, a whatever. Single one.
They are completely out of fucks to give.
Yeah.
Like, nope. Not over there. I don't have any more.
So, Dan, tell us about what we're about to hear here.
Dante is just heartbroken. His girl is cradled in his arms, and it's at that moment when he is expressing the emotion from the deepest pits of his soul that he goes through puberty. It's such an unfortunate time for him. Like, because puberty is a serious thing for a young man to go through. But to have it happen at this exact moment.
And Dante's like really in his mid-20s at this point, right? At least.
Yeah, I mean, he's a late bloomer, which is awkward, first of all. Like, when he has the discussions with Virgil, it's just got to be weird to begin with. But, like, oh, God, it's just... Just play it.
Have a listen.
I should have been the one to fill your dark soul with light.
You know what? It's really the echo that seals the deal.
Oh, it's so good. It was like, oh, this was terrible. What the fuck were we thinking? I don't know. Put an echo on it. That'll be dope.
They were more like, no, we don't need more than one take. That was perfect. Nope. Throw on the echo. Single take, all you need.
I mean, because, like, that should have been such an impactful... Because you're playing through the game, and you get to this big epic scene, and you're like, oh my God, this... Just what is gonna... Oh, God, what? Seriously?
Light!
It's just... Oh, it just takes you completely out of the game. Like, and that's the big problem. Right? Like, these performances are so bad that they ruin these otherwise emotional moments. And Devil May Cry... Let's be honest here. Devil May Cry is a series that is not really known for its emotional moments. It's more known for being badass and cool. But if you're going to go for it, you should at least do it right.
Yeah, and not like that.
No, you should do it completely differently from the way it was done there.
Yeah, speaking of the way things should be completely different, I sincerely hope from the bottom of my heart that the Mario franchise never goes anywhere near this level of creepiness again. This next one is a pick of mine, which was the Mario Sunshine cutscene where you are introduced to Baby Bowser for the first time. Bowser Jr., a character which I hate with all of my heart and soul. And this cutscene did not do anything to assist with that. So we're going to go ahead and listen to this, and then we'll talk about what we just heard. So if you haven't heard this before, brace yourselves.
I haven't. This is going to be the first time.
Oh my!
Yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, okay.
All right,
here we go.
Here we go.
Leave my mama alone, you bad man! I won't let you kick Mama Peach away,
Mama. Mama Peach? I'm your mama?
Yeah, Papa told me all about it.
But you got to the part where, Peach is, I'm your mama?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
Daddy told me all about it.
So.
I'm sorry. So Daddy told you all about what now?
and if, okay, so. Maybe things work differently in the Mushroom Kingdom, but if Peach is his mother, how doesn't she know?
Wouldn't she be the one person to know? It's the look on her face, just genuine surprise. Like, not surprised that he said it, just surprised that I'm so incredibly stupid, I could actually be your mother.
How is this possible? I'm your mom. Wow, that was... Oh, boy.
I'm not sure why Nintendo went here. Because it's gross.
It's a weird choice.
It's like, you know, that new Muppets show that came on last year that was really not great because it started, like... It made you think about Muppet sex.
Well, I mean, it made me think more about Muppet sex. Like, let's be honest, Chris. There was a Muppet baby show, which means there was a Muppets adults only show as well. And I'm just saying, Gonzo with the nose. Anyway.
Stop. Stop.
Oh, boy. So, man.
Like, you hear Kermit actually utter the words that he thinks pigs are sexy, and that just starts to turn some gears. And this is the similar kind of, like, this game puts it in your head, like, oh, okay. So Bowser actually wants to have relations with the princess. Like, that's something that's happening here. Like, he's not...
Yeah, it's not just a kidnapping for, like, power... Mm-hmm. Or money, or like control of the kingdom, or whatever. He wants to get up in them guts, and
and apparently, whoever Bowser Jr.'s real mom is, like, what is the family dynamic here?
I have a lot of questions.
Where did Bowser Jr. come from, and why was Bowser totally cool with just ignoring whoever his actual mother is in favor of Satan? What the oh my God. There's so much wrong with this.
Nobody likes Paulina. So, you know, he was like, nah, it's totally Peach. Paulina's not your mother.
Yeah, no, it's not Pauline. It's not Daisy. No, she's Luigi's. She's Luigi's piece.
Oh, man, that's so weird. Like, the look on Princess Peach's face. She should be the one to know. Because, like, I have kids. And Chris, you have kids, mm-hmm. and I know that my wife is positive of who our children are.
Yeah, my wife is well aware of which humans came out of her body.
Right?
She was very aware when it happened.
Yeah, like, I was in the room when it happened, and, like, you know, it's... Wow.
Okay. So, we'll be linking to the link in the show notes is going to be longer, so you can feel free to dive right in there. I've taken smaller bits of some of these very long and in most cases very painful pieces here, but
that's brutal.
All right, next one. This was your pick, Dan, and this was a good one. I hadn't seen this before.
it's just so cringy. When we live in a world where virtually anything you want to see is but a Google search away, why they decided to include pole dancing as unlockable cutscenes in Dead or Alive Extreme 2
I mean, it's not out of place in the game that is essentially about ogling fake women with, let's say, dubious breast physics.
Dubious at best. But, like, just watch.
So the audio clip I picked was from the YouTube video that Dan sent me had a couple of different sequences, and... I think the music in the background of this one just tickled me the most. So
it's so good.
Here, enjoy 24 seconds of the audio of DOA pole dancing.
What a great view!
Jesus Christ.
Oh. It's like a combination of porn music and Sonic the Hedgehog music.
But like done by Mariah Carey. It's amazing. Yeah. The ocean sounds in the background really set it off. Why would you pay money for this? I am sure there are far better versions of what you're going for here for free on the internet.
And this was the second one. This was the sequel.
There's a third one. I believe they got up to three. Yeah.
Wow.
And like what really sucks is that the first couple Dead or Alive games are really fun.
Oh, the fighting games? Yeah, they're pretty good.
They're good.
And they like but minus the crazy jiggle physics. Like they're actually fun fighters.
Yeah. Like, but it just went off the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
And like, do you remember dude's name escapes me now, but the guy in charge of creating the games was like really pitching them as like, this is the best fighting game. This is a serious, this is better than Tekken. This is better than Virtua Fighter.
Was it Itagaki? Is that his name? Itagaki. The guy with the hat, the guy who made freaking Devil's Third.
And the sunglasses and Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
Team Ninja.
Yeah. The Team Ninja guy.
Yeah. I mean, like, he was really out there pushing Dead or Alive as, like, a serious fighting game. And it was for a little bit. It was good, but it's just devolved into complete and total fan service, which sure, it has its place, but it's just fucking silly.
Yeah, I mean, DOA 2, I remember getting that on Dreamcast, and that was pretty rad.
Like, yeah.
That was a good fighting game. And you could be Ryu from Ninja Gaiden in there. Mm-hmm. Granted, it's not the awesome NES Ninja Gaiden. It's the slightly less awesome Law of Diminishing Returns modern Ninja Gaiden.
I like that Ninja Gaiden, though.
I did, but like much like the original trilogy, I hated the third one.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because Ninja Gaiden 3 on NES sucked balls. Ninja Gaiden 3 on Xbox sucked balls.
No good.
No, not good. Bad story. Anyway, yeah, so thank you for sharing that digital pole dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of things fighting games should never do, the next one is one of my picks. This was real hard to narrow down to a 30-second clip because there's just so much bad happening here.
So much bad.
What you won't hear in this, this next clip is from Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero, which had these really just very special live-action cutscenes with Sub-Zero and Quan Chi. And seriously, like, the dude, watch the video, the guy that's the head Lin Kuei guy, he looks like he's wearing the Machinima logo.
he really does.
Spot on.
that guy sucks. What an ass hat.
Yeah. Yeah. So go ahead and listen to the vocal stylings of a very agitated Sub-Zero talking to a very not intimidating Quan Chi. Enjoy.
I see the ninja has been successful in retrieving my map, as I have foreseen.
Let's get something straight. I am not a ninja. I am Lin Kuei. Scorpion was a ninja.
Yes, your Japanese counterpart. How unfortunate that you happened upon him in your battle with those pesky Shaolin monks.
Scorpion was tipped off. He knew I was breaking into that temple, and if he wasn't there, there wouldn't have been a battle. You are responsible for this, sorcerer.
He knew that I was going to be there.
I think my favorite piece of this is the soundtrack, because this of all the things that we've looked at this evening is something that would very much be a Mystery Science Theater episode.
It really sounds
like the music in Cave Dwellers. I'm expecting Miles O'Keefe to show up any minute now.
God, it's just horrendous. I mean, like,
just brutal.
It's bad to the point where, like, they had to be trying. Like, that's the best version of that. It's the very best that got.
Like, the N64 game, you know, at the time, it was kind of, like, ripped on because it didn't have all those live-action cutscenes. It was actually kind of a kindness, you know?
Yeah. It was not... Like, what is Quan Chi doing? Who talks like that? Fucking nobody talks like that.
Quan Chi is such a shitty ninja character, too.
Well, Quan Chi does have the best fatality in the history of Mortal Kombat.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's, the rip off the leg thing from MK4.
When you rip off somebody's leg and beat them to death with it, that is the best fatality they've ever come up with.
But, and he doesn't stop, too. He just keeps going. It's like, you got him, Rick. You got him. He's like, no. No, I didn't. Never get him.
Oh, God. That one's terrible. That's awful. Good God.
That whole game is such a piece of shit. And that... this live-action cutscenes are just more shit smeared on top of the shit. It's so bad.
It's bad.
Oh,
it's,
man.
Oh.
All right. Well, this last one is one of the... before we take our break, is really just some legendary shit right here. We're talking about the cinematics to Zero Wing, which obviously we're not going to play any audio for because there's no vocals to listen to. But, I mean... How do you talk about bad cutscenes and not talk about, you know, what you say?
What you say?
Somebody set up us the bomb.
Somebody set up us the bomb.
Like, if you don't know what we're talking about, this is the game that All Your Base Are Belong to Us comes from. It's just a really, really bad translation to the point where it just wraps around to being beautiful.
It really is. Like, I'm playing it now, and like the first three words on the screen in this game are "war was beginning." Right away, you know, shit has come off the rails. Like that, war has begun.
Main screen, turn on. How are you, gentlemen? All your base are belong to us. What you say?
What happened? Just, oh God,
you have no chance to survive. Make your time. Now, I'm not watching this. I just know this from the top of my head.
It's beautiful. Because, like, the music is kind of cool, and, like...
The game's pretty rad, right? It's, like, it's a shooter kind of thing. It's pretty neat.
It's so good. But the translation... like, I don't know. I don't know how... even, like, back in the day when nobody gave a shit, this... was astoundingly bad.
Yeah, this was next level bad. This was
how,
like,
are you, gentlemen? All your baser belong to us. Like, what the fuck? That's not threatening. And dude's name is Katz.
Meow.
And not like a Jewish guy. He's not like a Jewish guy with a delicatessen. It's not KTZ. It's CATS. Like a fucking tabby. It's ridiculous.
When you beat the game, you learn he actually is a pile of cats.
He's just a pile of cats in a shitty costume.
It's like that Pinky and the Brain episode. Where he goes on Jeopardy in the giant mechanical suit.
Fabulous. That's the fucking, the last fight in this game is just you with a laser pointer. Fucking cats is just keeps trying to jump up the wall. What are you doing, asshole? Jesus.
Oh, God.
How did you take over the galaxy?
Why are my base belong to you?
Have some nine lives and shut the fuck up, cats. Go away. God. Oh, I love this one. I love it so much. Take off every zig. What? What's awesome is he says, take off every zig, and then there's a cutscene of just a finger, like, zigging and zagging up on a screen. Like, he went, oh, fuck, I gotta get rid of the zigs. The zags were fine, though. We fucking get those zigs out of there. What are you doing? Jesus.
All right. We're gonna take ourselves a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about some more of the best of the worst. You are listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com, so stick around. And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com. First up, have you ever known a man to love vests more than our very own Dean DeFalco? I sure haven't. So for this week's episode of Vest and Friends, Dean... Wait, no! The new episode is Vestless? That's right, Dean was trapped in his basement ironing his vests, so Jengus and Glenn held down the fort and talked about shooting themselves in the head. And by that, I mean the new Persona game. Don't miss Vest and Friends, Episode 10, Land of the Rising Persona.
I have no way to retort. Just watch it. Next! Chris yep. and Vicky have been spending a lot of time playing the new Zelda game, so in order to give themselves a break from the action, they recorded the latest Waveback episode about a different Zelda game. In fact, it's Chris's all-time favorite game, Wand of Gamelon. And if you want to hear him get all gushy about how much he loves Wand of Gamelon and the game and its music, check out Waveback episode 39, The Legend of Zelda, Wand of Gamelon.
It's the Wind Waker. Of Gamelon.
Of Gamelon. The wind-waking wand of Gamelon.
Christ. Then Legion was a weird show. In the best way possible, mind you, but it was still weird. Geekade's Trish Reyes did a fantastic job dissecting every episode this season on a weekly basis, but now that the finale has aired, how did the season work as a whole? Find out what Trish thinks in Legion of Spoilers Season 1.
Finally... We here at Wand of Gamelon naturally appreciate the arts. With the state of our country being the way it seems like many of the arts are going to be going through some tough times. With much of our culture's more important artistic establishments seeing huge budget cuts or eliminations of paying for... I'm going to throw a Chewy down on the floor and romp for a minute. Our very own Chip Garrison has more than a few words to say on the matter. Head over to the think tank and read In Defense of PBS and NPR, and then go out and appreciate some local artists.
You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at Geekade.com. And we are back to discuss more of just, oh God, what we have in store for this second half is really the dregs. And we're going to jump right in with some of the dreggiest dregs. Dan, this one's probably going to be new to you too, right? You didn't play this?
Yeah.
Oh man, this was also really hard to cut down because I really wanted to highlight what we're talking about is Metroid Other M. And I wanted to talk about Jennifer Hale, who is a very talented voice actress, who was given just the worst imaginable script. Like, I feel so bad, because this woman has done some great work, and she got the opportunity to play Samus, and then she had to say these things. And
then these are the words that had to come out of her mouth.
She has to say the baby a lot in this game, especially towards the beginning, and it's never not disturbing. It's just, and this in particular, this is where Samus is recollecting what happened at the end of Super Metroid, where the baby Metroid blew up all over her. So,
which is terrible.
It is, but much like Muppet Sex, this is going to make you think of the details of that in a strange way. So strap yourselves in for the next 17 seconds of joy.
None of the baby remained on me. I knew it to be true, but still couldn't help looking at my palm for a sign. Never again would I encounter the baby. Never.
None of the baby remained on her. None of it. So gross.
You know, when you play the end of Super Metroid, you don't actually think of the baby Metroid's, I guess, cells.
No.
Dead body parts on her.
No, I certainly try not to, like... You know, it's
abstract enough that it doesn't really naturally come to mind, but the baby.
The baby.
The baby.
The baby was on me.
Never again would I see the baby. There is so much crappy acting in this game. There is so much wrong with this game.
They should have gone with something different than the baby.
Yeah.
The baby, the Metroid. Don't say the baby. Like, it's fucked up.
The hatchling. The Metroid hatchling.
The hatchling. Perfect. Perfect. That would have been great. Like, don't fucking say
the baby.
Like, I don't want to think about dead babies.
No.
Fucked up.
Like, there was a genuine bouquet of awful cutscenes that I could have picked from this game, but I really wanted to go with the baby. But I mean, anything with Anthony Higgs in it, would just say, "Remember me? No, I've never seen you before in my fucking life."
No, you have literally not existed up until this point.
This is your first appearance in the Metroid franchise. No one remembers you. In fact, I did remember him when I played the game from seeing him in the trailer. That was it.
Who the fuck is this guy?
You're doing that like really, really awesome looking Ridley fight, and then he busts out towards the end. Hey, that no way to treat a lady.
No, you're right. It's not.
No, making Metroid Other M is no way to treat a lady. God, God damn it. All right, let's move on before I barf. This one I love. I'm so glad you picked this one because I almost had this on my list. And I picked so we're going to talk about House of the Dead 2. And
which is the best game ever made.
It is so good. And nothing against House of the Dead Overkill that went for a very intentional grindhouse kind of thing. And I think it's just a spectacular game. But really, House of the Dead 2 knocked it out of the park. Now, when you sent this to me, it was called Suffer Like G Did, which is one of just such a great line.
It's so wonderful.
But I chose some earlier audio from this because while listening to that little demon thing talk is hilarious, my most memorable line from this game is one of the first lines uttered. So,
You really like, that's the beautiful thing about this game is, and unlike other M where it makes you like violently angry, you really can't go wrong with any of the choices from this game.
Yeah, because it just has to be intentional. It just has to be.
Oh, absolutely.
Or it's just like, or they weren't doing it ironically, which is just sad, but it has that kind of quality of, holy crap, this can't be real.
People got paid for this.
Admittedly, probably not much.
Well, sure, but
it was probably just Dan and Steve from The Office. Let's listen to some House of the Dead 2.
We're meeting G over there.
That's oh God, that's just so good.
We're meeting G over there.
Over there. That's where we're meeting him.
And then David, like, he sounds like he's drunk. He's just like, I've already taken care of G. Get him.
It's somehow better than the movie.
Well,
that's the impressive part.
Yeah.
I mean, that, like, oh God, it's, House of the Dead was so fun and it was just a wonderful experience. And like, it's, I think the reason we can safely say is that all of this was done on purpose is because things like Typing of the Dead exist. And that is just so damn self-aware.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, all right, you guys get it. You get what's going on here.
This is just awful. No, help me.
Help me.
My friends went inside. I told them not to go. Thank you for rescuing me. God, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop.
No, it doesn't.
Dogs of the AMS. God, I love this game so much. I played the crap out of House of the Dead 2.
As well you should have.
You know, I liked House of the Dead 1. I haven't played as much of that. And I dug House of the Dead 3. Didn't play as much of that as well. Because, I mean, really, I had House of the Dead 1 on Saturn. I just didn't get around to playing it a lot. And they didn't have a lot of House of the Dead 1 arcade machines around me. But House of the Dead 2, they had at the Ocean City Boardwalk. And then I bought House of the Dead 2 at launch for the Dreamcast with two light guns. Oh, God.
It was a good decision,
so
Chris.
So good. Okay, so this next one is not so good. It is in fact in every way an awful, awful game. We are going to be listening to, this is probably the longest cutscene to listen to because I couldn't find a short enough clip to truly illustrate how awful this game is. We're going to listen to some cutscene from Darkened Sky for the Nintendo GameCube. If you're unfamiliar, this is a game about Skittles.
Mm-hmm.
And the main character is voiced by the woman who did the voice of Princess Jasmine in Aladdin.
So, a good actress.
Yes. Delivering some just so cringeworthy, the lines that come out of her mouth, and really everyone's mouths. Everyone involved in this should be ashamed of themselves.
They really should. Like, that's not a joke. We're not trying to be funny. Like, you guys should be ashamed.
You should be ashamed.
You're bad, and you should feel bad.
And the game itself is bad. Like, legitimately bad. It is an awful piece of crap of a game. But the fact that it's about Skittles is, I mean,
doesn't make it better.
Before this, before where you're going to hear, has the voiceovers in it, the first part of this whole intro sequence, they start showing like recycled footage from old Skittles commercials, like those weird, like science fictiony ones before they started to be about like pulling Skittles off of awkward teenagers, which
is awesome.
It's yeah. Here is 50 seconds from the intro of Darkened Sky. Enjoy.
Who am I in this world? Tell me, please. Because if hurting Dwentles is my destiny, I'm putting in for early reincarnation.
You think you're right smart wearing them bright colored things on your feet? We'll show you smarts.
Smarts, don't it?
Oh, yes. Bright colors are a symbol of rebellion after all. What will be outlawed next? Smiling? Breathing? Metabolizing?
What's awesome is that, like, even though I know this is from this game, just listening to the audio, it's like, what the fuck happened to Jasmine and Aladdin?
Yeah. Like, it just, I see Jasmine's face when she talks, because she sounds like just what she sounds like. Oh, but with the Dwendles and...
The Dwendles.
Early reincarnation. And
Who wouldn't put in for early reincarnation if this was your fucking life?
If this was your world, especially if you can hear that music.
Oh, was God. It was wretched.
Absolutely. Wretched is the word for this.
Horrendous.
Zero redeeming qualities. It's not even, it doesn't even land in the so bad it's good category. It's uncomfortable to watch. Because when you see this, again, look at the links in the show notes or just Google search it. When you actually see it, it's that early, it's like slightly better than the old reboot cartoon, like the first season of Beast Wars or something, like that, that level of CG quality. Oh, yeah. It's disturbing. Yeah, it's looking. It's,
why did I buy this for you?
Because I love crappy games. I know, but
was that the only reason?
Yeah. Cause I had to have it. And I believe I had the game, and then you bought me the one that was both this and Outlaw Golf in the same package.
Oh, yeah.
Because you were like, you think you have Darkened Sky, but you don't have Darkened Sky with Outlaw Golf. With the shitty GameCube port of Outlaw Golf. Thank you. Because you're a true friend. That's why you bought it for me.
That, there you go. That's what it is. Because, you know, sharing is caring. And I wanted you to have that.
And you know what? I still do. It's one of my prized possessions.
As well it should
be. As well it should be.
That game should be worth millions of dollars at this point.
I think the jar of Tostitas salsa sitting on my desk is worth more than that game right now. Okay, so...
Hold on. What type of salsa?
Just mild chunky salsa.
Just mild chunky, not like peach mango or... Like
I didn't get crazy with
fancy.
It.
No?
No. It was like actually salsa that I bought to have during my Mystery Science Theater night. I had friends over to watch the new episode, but we just never got around to opening them because there was cupcakes and popcorn and stuff. So,
well, there you go.
I figured tonight was the night to dip into the salsa because I haven't had proper chips and salsa in way too long. It's just not a snack that comes up as often as it should in my life.
I prefer it with tortillas. I don't like, we've talked about, I don't like crunchy things. But yeah. Regular tortillas and fucking peach salsa, I'm in. I'm going to start making my own. We're totally getting off topic here, but...
I think it's because none of us want to listen to what's next. Now,
I do not want to get to this.
How familiar are you with the masterpiece that is Castlevania Judgment for Nintendo Wii?
I have watched more than a few videos and then really hated myself afterwards.
So... I hated all the character designs in this game. It doesn't play like the worst thing in the world, and the soundtrack's pretty rad. It's all like great remakes of Castlevania tunes.
Yeah.
But there's this bit where I believe it's the character Maria. Every time she encounters another female character, there's some jiggle physics, and she gets violently jealous of their boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really uncomfortable. Like, really, really uncomfortable. And this right here is, I believe, when she is talking to... It's not Shinoa, or maybe it is Shinoa. I don't even know who she's talking to, honestly, and it really doesn't matter. All I know is that the other character has some very non-realistic proportions, and Maria is commenting on them. So here you go. Enjoy this piece of actual Castlevania canon.
Hey! Are you a vampire hunter?
I am. If you're here, you must be one as well.
Uh-huh. They're huge.
Will you stop? These things only get in the way.
How can you say that? Those are a sacred gift!
I mean, now look. Everyone knows that boobs are about the greatest thing ever. It's not even up for debate. Straight girls will tell you that boobs are the greatest thing ever. But you can't be creepy about it. See, like, that's the thing. We gotta... She's just not doing it right.
You don't just mid-conversation drop your jaw, staring straight at another woman, and then scream that they're a sacred gift.
I mean, that is the line that I used on Tiffany to make her fall in love with me. So I don't know what that says about our relationship.
This is so gross. This is just so odd. And her fixation on it. It's like every cutscene that involves her and another woman. Like when she runs into the vampire one later. Trish, is it?
I think so.
It's just like, even the vampires are bigger than mine. Like, why are you so obsessed with boobs?
It's weird.
It is. It's unnerving.
It's not funny. It's, you know, like, we try to make jokes about it, but, like, it's not even done in a comical way.
Yeah, it's not being played for comedy. That's the thing that makes it really unsettling. Like,
yeah.
They're not trying to make a joke here. I don't know what they're trying to do, but they're not delivering it like it's comedy. It's
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's This is just how she goes through life. She's just real upset about this kind of shit all the time. It is her driving focus. And like, think about the difference of that. Like the male perspective of that. Like if every time that you and I got together, I was just staring at your junk. Like, God, Jesus Christ, it's like a fucking baby holding an apple. Like, that just, babies, you know. Nobody would ever make that joke. Like, that would never be played for laughs or for serious. Like, it's just weird. It's a weird choice.
I don't have the words for it. Like,
it's very strange.
It is really unsettling. And I just,
I don't care for it.
I don't, nope, no, sir. I don't like it.
No, sir. I don't like it. What do you think about that fall, Mr. Horse?
Speaking of cartoons.
Oh, shit. I just went through puberty right there, too. Do you hear that?
I did. These next two are some of the best and brightest that Capcom has ever had to offer. The next one was my pick. The following one was Dan's pick. This one, you can't talk about crappy cutscenes without talking about Mega Man 8. Because it's somewhere along the line, there was a conscious decision by the people at Capcom to, one, make Mega Man's voice more high-pitched than his sister Roll's voice.
That's right.
And two, that Dr. Light was to sound like Elmer Fudd. There is no way, this was not an accident. He sounds like Elmer Fudd, and it seems very intentional, and I don't understand why.
All right, we have to play it first, and then we can talk about it.
Yes, all right, here's 27 seconds of Mega Man 8. Enjoy.
Dr. Light, what is the problem?
A strange meteor has fallen to Earth just a while ago. This meteor seems to be emitting a powerful energy signature. Something this powerful must not fall into the hands of evil.
I understand, Dr. Light. I'm on it.
Thank you, Mega Man. If you can, please bring the media back.
Okay.
So, I had to come home earlier. Long story. And while I was here waiting for my son's shoes to dry, kids.
Yeah, I've been there.
I'm editing down these sound clips, and I'm just cracking up hysterically. My mom's here watching my daughter. She watches her during the day. And I was like, Mom, explain to her what we're doing on the show tonight. I was like, you got to hear this one. Like, my mom doesn't know Mega Man from a hole in the wall. She doesn't know the character's name is Mega Man. And I said, just listen to the conscious decision for Dr. Light, the scientist that created Mega Man. And she's listening to it. And as soon as he starts talking, she just starts cracking up. She's like, is that Elmer Fudd? He says like, evil, Dr. Wiwi.
He's powerful. See, because like, here's the thing. If you watch stand-up comedians, right? Doesn't matter who you watch. When they talk about somebody saying something dumb, what type of accent is it done in? Chris, putting you on the spot.
I honestly don't know.
A southern accent. Every time.
Oh. Yeah, all right.
Every
yeah,
time somebody is about to say some stupid or racist, nonsensical shit, you know, they're like, well, there, motherfucker, rat, rat. Like, that's the voice they do. Every time. Because that sort of voice we associate with a stereotype. Scientist is not associated with Elmer Fudd.
No.
That's not the voice we go. Like, like Dave Chappelle's nerdy white guy voice would be more fitting for Dr. Light in this.
Oh my God, I'd pay so much money for that.
I just want Dave Chappelle to voice all of Mega Man. I think that would be amazing.
That would be so great.
But like, when I think scientist, I gotta tell you, I don't think rabbit season.
Like, I'm sorry, Wabbit season.
Wabbit season? Like, come the fuck on. And it, but at least, at the very least, at least we know that Mega Man is on it. I am on it. I am on it. God damn it.
And this is, I had to cut out, like, again, there's so many great things to choose from. Like, one of my most hated things, and why, I guess partially why so many people refer to the character of Bass as Bass, because clearly it's Fish and Treble, not Bass and Treble. But he actually says that in this. Like, ah, Bass, yep. Why must I fight you? Mega Man, today we finish this. Oh, ugh, God.
So brutal.
It's Capcom. Really tough. And it's like, at back when this came out, watching those cutscenes, I was like, oh my God, this looks so cool.
This is amazing, but it sounds so bad.
Exactly. It sounds so bad.
Capcom is successful in spite of themselves.
It's very true. Well, our last one for the night. Dan, why don't you take us home here?
The first Resident Evil on PlayStation is legendarily bad for its voice acting. And I know what you're thinking, because you're listening to this episode and you're waiting like, when are they going to say you, the master of unlocking? That's not Barry's worst line. He's got a whole bunch. This one, though, just the pinnacle of assholery.
And her response to it, too, is really quite special. Let's go ahead and give it a listen, shall we? This is from Resident Evil.
Hurry! This way!
Oh, Barry!
That was too close. You were almost a Jill sandwich.
You're right. Barry, thanks for saving my life.
First of all, if she was going to be a Jill sandwich, there would have had to be two other Jills on the outside of her. So.
Well, no, you know, it's not a bread sandwich with ham in the middle. It's a ham sandwich. Yeah, it's the thing in the middle.
I suppose it's fair. I've had a lot to drink this evening.
But still.
You were almost a Jill sandwich. Like, we're in a creepy mansion.
She just laughs it off.
We're in a creepy mansion. Our friends are dead. Everybody's missing. And, like, that's what you come with, Barry. Like, not like, what the fuck was that? That was the appropriate response there. Holy shit, we're going to die, aren't we? Fuck.
This is it. Wow. No, man,
You were almost a Jill sandwich.
This game is, like, I mean, obviously it's legendary for this stuff. I never really played through the original Resident Evil because I couldn't do it. I couldn't get those tank controls. I couldn't do the voice acting, which was admittedly hilarious.
I mean, I adore this game. I love it. I love it. I think it's brilliant. But man, like, again, Capcom, you are successful in spite of yourselves.
So, again, they did this on purpose.
Yeah, this again, it is the best version. They chose this one. What were the outtakes like? What could they possibly have been?
What could be on the cutting room floor?
Like, oh, God. I want to see the script revisions.
We're almost a Jill sandwich.
You were almost. And, like,
you were almost crushed to death.
Right?
You almost died.
In a mansion while we're looking for our friends after we've seen some fucking zombies at this point. Some shit has come off the rails, Barry. You need to be a little bit more emotional. Like, that's why I'm really glad that that we have mature ratings in games now, because there are just certain times. I know we curse a lot on the show. It's why we put the disclaimer at the beginning of the show. But there are just certain times where the only possible response in a situation is, holy fuck, what was that? I am scared. Not you were almost a Jill Sandwich. Fucking terrible.
Well, we're not gonna get any better than that. So that's our show. Thank you for putting up with that. That was really something.
So stupid.
Cutscenes, just really bad ones. Let us know which ones we missed, because I know there's gonna be some real favorites out there that we just didn't get around to. So join us next week when we will be doing our belated April Fool's episode.
April Fool's.
April
no
Fool's
new
suckers.
For you. Now we're so funny.
Or should we be talking about games that we feel like fools for having bought? And turns out there's a lot of them.
Yeah, this list was way easier to write than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I thought I was going to really have to put some thought into that. And nope. After I got to a certain number, I said, nah, screw it. I'm done. I'm sure there's others, but I'm going to leave this alone. So
680 games is more than enough for one podcast.
Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris, that's Geekade KRIS, and Dan is available at...
Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out the show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks. And we'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme, which you can check out on SoundCloud, Bandcamp, or his website, which we'll have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com, where we post something new damn near every single day. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.